It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I never put much thought into tires in the past. The thought was always to drive what comes on my vehicle, and if I had to replace them, I made my decision based on price. Our friends at Cooper Tires know what they're talking about. Cooper has been an American company since 1914, with more than a century in the tire industry. Each Cooper Tire undergoes rigorous testing and are backed by warranty, so you can trust that they'll last for thousands of miles. The Coopers pride themselves on good merchandise, fair play, and a square deal. Always have and always will. Don't overpay or underbuy. Cooper Tires do what tires should do and cost what tires should cost. All Cooper Tires are backed by a limited warranty, a 45-day test drive warranty, and select products are backed by tread wear mileage warranty, helping to give you confidence on the road. For complete product and warranty details, please visit www.coopertires.com or www.coopertires.ca. And remember, go with the Coopers.
Folks, welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. This is an episode from our original Scotland trip, July 2018, Tourist Sauce Season 2. This is about Castle Stewart. The audio has been pulled from the old No Laying Up podcast file and repurposed here in the Crash Course feed for your enjoyment.
And then we went up to Castle Stewart, which is the only course designed in this century that we played on this trip. And it was a 2009, I believe, Gil Hance design. There,
Gil Hance did Wingfoot.
He did do Wingfoot. We're members. It is a 4-minute drive from the Inverness Airport. There are planes taking off the entire time. They actually have like a shuttle service. They'll shuttle you from that airport to the golf course. And it was a course that I think, you know, playing so many old classic courses on this trip, that it stands out in being very different from that and being a newer course. I think, did you guys go into it at all with any preconceived notions or expectations that maybe you wouldn't like it?
I wanted to hate the place. I wanted to go in and just be like, this place stinks. It's a disgrace. And it ended up being one of my favorite courses the whole trip.
What made it so great?
Obviously, first of all, the land is just second to none. I mean, some of the best land, and the way that Hance used it, and just such a light touch. I think there was so much nuance and so many subtle little features that, especially around the greens, some of the mounding and the grass bunkers and these little lips, and really just, I mean, that you know, the second hole, the third hole, and then the back nine was just, the back nine was probably one of the better nine hole stretches we played on the entire trip. So, but yeah, I mean, that place was, you know, and it didn't hurt that played with eight clubs. And
yeah, we kept the half bag, kept it going after the invigorating round at Cullen, which wound up in, I think, probably my best round that I played, I think, was with that first round with the half bag at Castle Stewart. I feel like I'm sounding like a bit of a broken record here, but I mean, I just,
it
I
is that
loved
good.
It.
Yeah.
It's so, so good. And I think I've been... you know, reading from the book of Gil for
DJ
for quite a while.
Gil pretty hard,
but it, gosh, it like, look, try to argue with any of that stuff out there. It's, I mean, like you said, the light touch is what sticks out to me. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's so subtle, but it's so subtle, but if you look deeper at what he's doing, I mean, it's just, it's so good. There's so much.
It's so playable.
It's so playable wide. For sure. And it just almost kind of, not that it tricks you into feeling like it's harder than it is, but kind of, if that makes sense. Like,
it's welcoming. The greens are receptive, welcoming. Not that they're not firm, but you can use some slopes to get to them, and they're big complexes. And so Mark Parsonen is the developer of Castle Stewart, as well was the developer of Kingsbarns. So Kyle Phillips did Kingsbarns, I think in 2002, was a roaring success. So Parsonen saw this land. I don't know the true sequence there, but engaged Hance to design this course, and they have a formula, and it works. Like, it is a golf course that is a great blend of kind of more American style and is kind of designed for an American tourist to come to go play there, as well as traditional Scottish style, Scottish layout and links play, how the ground plays. And, you know, the third hole at Drivable 4 is just, it's a world-class hole. It's so cool how it sits back there against the Firth. And in the fourth, you turn around and hit right back at Castle Stewart, which is, of course, named after. And it's just a modern marvel, I think it's fair to say. And I enjoyed it even more this time around than I did the first. And I think that it holds up really well in comparison to Kings Barnes. And I'd love to see Kings Barnes in these conditions. But to me, walking off that one, I was like, okay, I think I may put Castle Stewart ahead of Kings Barnes in five.
A lot of it, especially like 10 and 11, when you make the turn, you play the, you know, the that really cool par four against the water, and then the short three, you know, right along the water too. I think a lot of that reminded me, and people get triggered when this course comes up for whatever reason, but a lot of that reminded me of like Whistling Straits, I thought, but it, just not as manufactured and obviously a little more natural feeling than that. But again, it was like Cruden. I thought Cruden Bay and Castle Stewart were probably the most similar for me. You know, going back to your question from the beginning of the first podcast, I just every shot out there was phenomenal. And I think that was the one. You know, Bagtag Barry is definitely playing Castle Stewart, and
for good
definitely
reason.
Should
for good reason.
It's,
yeah,
it's so good. I think it's probably pricier. It's you know, it's more. It's higher on that end of the spectrum. It's a little bit more of a luxury kind of feel, certainly coming after Cullen as well. but I mean, if you're looking to go
but
over
no
it,
less
spend the money, it's
either.
Worth it. Yeah,
right.
Like it didn't feel snooty or anything like that. It felt like you were. I mean, it felt like being at a place like Bandon.
Yeah.
No.
And they do have, it is a pricier place. I think it's around 190 pounds to play, but they have a 36 hole deal where basically your second round is something like 60 or 70 pounds. So for two rounds, you get it around 260 pounds, if I remember right, which is, I think, a very fair deal considering the piece of land and all that.
The
and,
par fives were among the best we played.
Yeah, I think it, yeah, that being the modern course, it definitely had the best par fives of any course we played. And again, we talk about mixing variety into planning out an itinerary, and variety in some of the true oldest courses in the world, and also the new ones. Like, there's a reason why these new ones are successful, why they keep building them. There's going to be, we're going to talk a little bit about that. There's going to be a new one built up near Dornick here as well soon. And there's a reason they keep building them, because these guys keep knocking it out of the park. And again, I was concerned going into it as to what you guys might think of it and what I would think of it the second go around. And I enjoyed it even more. Again,
the short fours were insane.
The 14th hole there
is 14.
One of my favorite golf holes, honestly. It is like a
16.
Should be a, I'm not an architecture expert, but like that is like a perfect example, like a centerline bunker. It's a short hole, and if you want to go right of that bunker, there's more space, but you are going to be protected by mounds that guard the flag, whereas if you play to the tighter part of the left side of the fairway, you'll have the angle into the green. If you go long with a wedge, it's like the steepest slope behind that green, and it's a place you're going to make bogeys from. It is just so many great little elements like that in a hole that may look to the eye like a very simple hole, but there's just layer upon layers to it.
The views are crazy.
Oh, God.
You see Inverness in the background and the Keswick Bridge and, you know, the Highlands on the other side of the bridge. It's really cool.
That course got me extra amped up to see Pinehurst number 4 also. After going around there in the early stages and kind of seeing – it's weird how the land sort of felt similar. I mean, it couldn't be more different landscapes, but the movement on the land felt pretty similar, and just, I don't know. Gil's really good. I'm amped.
Randy, what'd you think of Castle Stewart?
Yeah, it was good. I think it was probably the one I was least looking forward to for a lot of the same reason as Tron. But it's just really nice. I mean, tremendous shot value. I think you definitely, like you guys said, you definitely know it's a new course, right? Like, you're not...
They're not trying to trick you.
Yeah, yeah. At no time are you thinking, like, oh, it's an old links course. No, it's a new course. But, yeah, exceedingly fair, very playable. You know, I think, like you said, that fourth hole kind of going, hitting back to Castle Stewart through, like, a narrow corridor was one of my favorite views on the trip.
You played your ass off on the back.
Yeah, it didn't hurt. I think I went out in 47. I was so tired. Found something and shot 36 coming in, even par, and
with
legitimately
a couple of...
should have been like a 34. I missed a couple of like 3-foot putts.
Couple ladies putting club swipes coming
in. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, certainly that doesn't hurt my impression, but I've never played Whistling Straight, but I think I like that. Like, it just feels like that type of play. Like, it feels like you're almost on Lake Michigan.
And I think you're in that, you know, whatever the cove is there that it sits on, you know, so you're not getting like the rolling ocean waves like you get in a lot of the other right. courses. It's just very, and granted there was not much wind when we played it, but it feels very still and kind of serene. It's yeah. it's just
the clubhouse was cool really, too.
Clubhouse was awesome.
Just like great food.
Yeah. Just and, looked like it a lot of that's the cool thing. And you kind of mentioned it is that, you know, a lot of these, I have not been to King's Barnes, but so I don't know how it kind of handles that. But a lot of these newer courses, you can either go one of two ways. You can either try to make it kind of ultra modern and ultra, you know, kind of – you make it feel like it's new, or you can try to manufacture it into making it feel like it's much older than it is and try to trick people. And I don't think it does either. It kind of knows its place, and it doesn't try to do too much. And I think that's really cool.
Folks, welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. This episode comes from our Scotland debrief Tour of Sauce episode from July of 2018. It is about Nairn in the north, up on the north coast of Scotland, one of our favorite courses as well. This audio has been repurposed from that original podcast feed here into the Crash Course feed. Enjoy.
Moving on, we went down the road about 20 minutes or so back to Nairn Golf Club there, which is a little bit east of Castle Stewart there and east of Inverness. Back to more of the traditional club, old golf course, I think 1887 or so is the what's on our pin flag here. And a course that I was fortunate enough to play last year and had a great experience out there. And was more blown away by the archive room afterwards, which we'll get to. But again, back to a classic course, a very flat course that sits by the seaside and is, again, very different than a lot of the other courses that we play. I don't know what the best comparison is to Nairn. But what was your guys' takeaway from our afternoon at Nairn?
It's this is a weird one for me. Walking off the course, I felt like it's obviously a great course. Like it's exactly what a Lynx test should be. I think the bunkering and the strategy is subtly among the most interesting. I don't think I hit the ball well enough to really get that full experience. I can think I want to do this, but it's like, the execution's probably going to be something else entirely. It's the course, though, since I've been back, where it's like it's just keeps growing on me. I think it's right there with Ely and North Berwick, and like if I could play a course every day, it'd be Nairn, North Berwick, and Ely, one of those three. Just a very straightforward Lynx golf experience.
And that's why I think walking off of it, I almost felt like it was a little too straightforward. You know, we had heard a lot of really, really, really good stuff going in, and I was kind of not disappointed. That's definitely not the right word, but just
it doesn't wow.
It felt a little underwhelming walking off.
Yeah.
But then, like you're saying, Randy, I mean, I think I've kind of thought about that one more and more and more as since we've been home than a lot of the others, and it's mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, oh man, you know, that hole was really cool, and that was I'd like to play that again. I'd like to I could for sure see it in that everyday course category, and it's weird how much I've liked it a lot more since I've left than when
and
I was
let alone the clubhouse
it.
Which I think we'll get to here in just a couple seconds. I mean, that for the clubhouse and the vibe alone, I mean, it's kind of worth being your everyday course.
Thought it was really scoreable. I mean, I didn't play all that well, but I thought as far as the other layouts that we played, I thought it was the course that you could probably go the lowest on.
I think it was just all in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just very...
You said to hit the shot.
Yeah, it was very clear what the
ask
was.
Avoid this bunker. Yeah. And, yeah.
Which I think coming off of, you know, Cruden Bay and Castle Stewart and Cullen and, you know, all these places where we had all these blind shots and we had all this different stuff, you know, that is probably what made it feel a little underwhelming. Whereas if it was the first course we played, I probably would have said, oh, wow, that's Lynx Golf. I'm in. This was what a delight.
Right.
I think that probably my own fault.
Biggest takeaway for me was how rumpled and just bumpy the fairways were in a good way. I mean, there was so much natural little, you know, variations in them that to the point where it was so dry, but you could see where the water collected at the bottom of each of these little
sprinkler heads and stuff.
It was really cool. Probably the coolest halfway house I've ever seen.
Oh, God. Which was closed. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It was about 6 p.m. on a Friday, I think.
Yeah.
So I was
like the one place I wanted to have a pint.
Yeah. It was probably the best.
An old barn with kind of like the grass roof. It was just
like a thatch roof almost.
Really, really thatch cool. Looking. Yeah.
There were a couple holes that weren't, you know, they were probably my least favorite of the trip.
Same for me.
Solly, talk about your round a little bit out there. We didn't get into a lot of, like, you know, blow by blow what we shot, but I would say it's kind of worth getting into Solly's round a little bit here.
Well, I had gotten hot, and I had a 5-foot birdie putt on the 11th hole to go to 5 under par, and I lipped it, and got to the 13th tee, still sitting at 4 under par. I eagled the 15th hole, and I shot 2 over par total for the day.
Sick.
It was the worst collapse that I've ever had. I made 3 doubles coming in. I think I bogeyed the other 2 holes.
I was mega afraid to go low.
Oh, I'm terrified to go low. Absolutely terrified. But I love Nairn in that the what you mentioned about the bunkering. There's so many bunkers out there that it's like, God, that is the exact place I would love to bail out. And the way they structure the fairway bunkers, it's like, all right, if you want to get past these 2 bunkers, all right, you're going to need more club to do that. So that puts 3-1 in play, and that's going to bring in this long left bunker if you pull one. But if you go down the right side of that, then you're going to be safe, but that's also the worst angle at the hole. And like that 5th hole there is a little dog leg to the left, and it's got a bunker that protects the left side of it. And the closer you play to that bunker, the much better angle you have into that green. And it is just like a master class in just execute the shot. Just like hit the shot, pick the right club, and execute the shot that you need. And it might be 5 iron off the tee. I think I hit 3 iron on the par 5 on the front because I didn't want to try to hit a driver into that shape of a fairway because it runs out into the long rough. And it just is the most – it's exhilarating shot-by-shot golf course to me to position yourself and to avoid the traps, and you can score if you do that. And I think that's what makes it really fun. I don't think it's the most challenging, but like if you don't execute shots out there, it will reject you. And half the day I dominated it, and the other half it kicked my ass. And it's
you can see why it'd be such a good club course in that regard. Yeah. Because, you know, if you have a +1 going up against a 15 – you know, you can handicap it really well so that those two can have a really fun match against each other. There's not a lot of shots at the 15 just doesn't have a prayer of hitting or whatever, you know. It's the more I think about it, the more I get it.
I tripled one, and it's like, sick. I don't think I hit a bad shot. It was like a blackout triple. Yeah. Like, what just happened?
Like, my first 5 holes.
I guess that's a seven.
It was one of the few courses where they didn't have a like a hole location sheet, and it was one course where there was so much deception and so much, you know, so much messing with your depth perception that you had to, like, I had no idea what my yardages were into a lot of those.
I thought greens. The book otherwise, like, had we had a pin sheet in addition to the course book?
That was one of the better yardage books.
Yeah, it was a fantastic yardage book.
But yeah, probably the course I'd most, maybe one or two, like, ranked one or two as far as the course I'd most want to be a member at.
Yeah.
Because the hang afterwards was crazy good.
Out of this world. We had such good – I mean, we played just the 4 of us. We didn't necessarily have hosts, but the Sean Burgess, the assistant pro there, and Sharpie, they're going to be heavily featured here in our video, and they showed us around the archive.
Shout out Finley, too.
Finley as well. Yeah, he's a really good, talented young player there.
He's got goat in training, I think, all over him.
Got to hang, of course, in the archive room. We're not going to – I broke it down on the podcast last year. We have a bunch of video from it. It's just they preserved the history of that club amazingly well, and it is – one of the coolest hangs, and I said it last year, my goal in some way is to record a podcast from that room. I think we kind of missed the opportunity because that was a really good one, but we didn't want to lug podcast equipment over there. But that is kind of the club, and I think Bacon and I talked about joining there, and I think they said he just join. And we had set our boy Wyatt up to go play over there, and the day ended with him joining and becoming an overseas member at Nairn because he fell in love with that place so much. So
it is kind of the place that is, it is weird, like hard to describe. Like the golf course itself does not blow you away, but there's something about the vibe of that place that does stick with you. Like Randy and DJ, what you guys were saying is the more you thought about it, the more you really enjoyed that day.
I kind of walked off a little bit underwhelmed by the course, and the more I thought about it, the more it's one of the few courses like I want another crack at it because I want to go out there and play around when I'm fresh and go out and see what kind of score I can shoot.
Yeah, at this point of the trip, we are starting to get wound down
again,
a little bit.
Old Tom, but with James Braid heavily influenced as well. Yeah, I thought the close, like starting on 14, the downhill par 3, that really messed with your mind, DJ. I thought there were some really underrated holes there down the stretch. I thought 14 was excellent, 15 a little short 4, and then 16, the road hole, I thought was really good with the burn there and the bunkering, kind of, 75, 80 yards short, or I guess a little closer to that to the green, but really made you think about that approach shot and what you wanted to do. I keep talking about it and thinking about it. It just keeps getting better for me.
Nairn Fox, I'll say it. I'm in on Nairn big time. All right, wrapping up that day, we then drove up about an hour to Dornoch. We stayed at the Royal Golf Hotel there in Dornoch, which couldn't be closer to the first tee, I think.
also couldn't be better.
Couldn't
that
be better.
It was the best.
It was the best place.
I think it's my favorite hotel I've ever stayed in.
It was
ever, anywhere.
Incredible.
We checked in, and I think we checked in at like 11:30 at night, and coming off like an hour drive, you know, played 36 holes, tired, but like, gosh, how good does a beer sound right now? And asked the lady at check-in, like, hey, how is the bar closed? How late are they serving over there? She's like, yeah, you know, they just kind of serve until the last person isn't standing anymore. so we're like, sweet. So we went over there. The night shift guy happily served us 4 beers, and you know, like no sense of like you're putting me out by, you know, making me stay late or anything. It was just, we were able to go have a proper pint. Which, I was like, okay, this is going to be nice.
Beer wise, we talk about Tenants with a lime cordial.
Simon. Shout out Simon.
Simon Holden, North Berwick, turned you guys onto the Tenants with the lime cordial, the fancy boy Tenant.
So lime
guys,
cordial is like,
it's like a Scottish like a Bud Light lime.
Yeah, it's like a carbonated lime soda that you just add to the beer to just kind of cut a little bit of the taste, and just makes it super refreshing in the summer. But Tenants was the go-to, but it also played well in Carling.
Sure.
So
the hotel itself, I mean, it's really, really nice, but nothing like over the top about it. It's got still that same kind of Scottish quaintness to it, and it
best feels, bathrooms.
Yeah, it feels more like a house than it does like a hotel. Still, and beautiful little breakfast.
And the best
service was
the best dinner slash like I think they called it the conservatory. That room, I could spend my remaining days in that room, just like living in there.
That is the place to stay, I think, in Dornoch. We would all agree.